Just now, as we were hearing the story, I was struck as I heard the words, forever making family more than blood. That's part of what we're given on this day. Let us pray. In the midst of death, help us to look to you. When there is silence and no word seems to come, help us wait for you. When we are lost and afraid, help us remember your promise. And in this moment, speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. Amen. What happened on this day all those years ago? I know we just heard the story. We know that Jesus was betrayed. He was denied. He was beaten. He was mocked. He was crucified. He died. Why? One of the oldest answers to that question is explained like this. Human beings, it goes, were like inmates in a prison of sin. There was no way we could get ourselves out. So God sent Jesus to be our bail. Jesus gives his life to cash in ours, so this goes. He dies, we go free. And there are lots of reasons that this has been such a common explanation for centuries. It resonates with the story of Passover and the sacrificial lamb whose life is given in order to save the lives of God's people. The so-called substitutionary atonement theory, that's what it's called, just in case you've never heard that one. This theory of the cross makes sense insofar as we know that there's damage that we've done in our lives and in our world that can never be fully repaired by us, that there are human messes to which we have contributed, messes that are beyond our capacity to clean up. In other words, the price is too much for us to redeem what has been done. We don't have what it takes. Only God does. Now, the bailout theology of the cross handles this quite well. I will grant that God is the only one who can save us and redeem this beautiful, broken world. But I take issue with the idea that the God who is love and mercy would be so cruel as to sacrifice the beloved Son when divine mercy had spared Abraham and Isaac from so brutal a scene centuries before. I simply don't believe that God would intentionally add violence, brutality, and injustice to a world that God labors to save from all those things. It seems to me that the God of love and mercy will not be a bloodthirsty God who requires the blood of Jesus to let everyone off the hook. After all, our God is the God of whom the psalmist writes, "You have no delight in sacrifice. If I were to give a burnt offering, you would not be pleased. The sacrifice acceptable to God is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. So what happened on this day all those years ago, if it was not a cosmic payoff? Jesus, the embodiment of God's grace and mercy, the embodiment of God's love and justice, gave up his life instead of giving in to the powers that wanted him to conform, that wanted him to be quiet, that wanted him to go away, that wanted him to stop protesting against the ways that the world was killing the innocent and robbing the poor. Jesus gave up his life instead of giving up his solidarity with the poor and the oppressed. On this day, all those years ago, Jesus, innocent of any crime, innocent as a child, innocent as a lamb, on this day, that beloved child whose only crime was telling the truth was executed by the state. On this day, the gentle lamb was slain. How can this great tragedy have any good in it? What possible positive difference can such an outrage bring? To say Jesus died for our sakes, to say Jesus died for you, is not to say that Jesus is your get-out-of-jail-free card, but rather to say that Jesus died for love of you. Because Jesus wouldn't forsake you. Jesus died out of love for you and a desire that you should have abundant life. Jesus died out of a love for you that led him to courageously stand up to all the things of this world that would do you harm, to stand up to all the things of this world that poison your mind, that harden your heart, that tempt you to worship idols that steal your life. Because of Jesus' love for us, he didn't back down from what threatens us, even when he knew it would cost his life. What happened on this day, all those years ago, is that Jesus becomes the ultimate witness, the one who shows us what it looks like to be truly and fully human as God intends. Jesus bears witness to love, bears witness to courage, bears witness to mercy and forgiveness and patience and compassion. Jesus shows us what it looks like to be a real friend, what it looks like to have integrity, what it looks like to do what is right, even when it means risking everything. That kind of witness is literally life-giving. Father Oscar Romero was a Catholic priest in El Salvador who tirelessly spoke out against poverty, social injustice, and the assassinations and torture that were rampant during his ministry. In 1980, Romero was assassinated while offering Mass in the chapel of the Hospital of Divine Providence. The people who experienced the way that Father Romero lived and died were changed by his witness. They knew that he loved them and that he cared for them and that he was willing to risk everything for them. And I'll never forget what I read from one of the peasants who was directly in relationship with Father Romero, who said, "Before, we were not, but now we are." What happened on this day all those years ago is that Jesus, the ultimate witness, shows us perfect love and faithfulness. And if we are willing to look, we see our capacity to follow in Jesus' way, to come alive in a new way, to be fully human. And as we are likely painfully aware, if we are willing to really look at Jesus on the cross, we also see our capacity to be less than fully human, to be inhuman. As we look at Jesus on the cross, we are forced to witness the effects of our failure to love, our failure to have compassion. We're forced to reckon with our complicity in cross-building and in torture, forced to reckon with the hardness of our own hearts, to reckon with the ways that our self-interest and idol worship distract us from doing what is right, and the ways that we allow innocent people to be slaughtered while we are busy making our plans. In the 13th century, Saint Bonaventure, a Franciscan monk and theologian, wrote this prayer. "O Lord, show us what kind of man it is who is hanging for our sakes on the cross, whose suffering causes the rocks themselves to crack and crumble with compassion, whose death brings the dead back to life. Let my heart crack and crumble at the sight of him. Let my soul break apart with compassion for his suffering. Let it be shattered with grief at my sins for which he dies. And finally, let it be softened with devoted love for him." What happened on this day all those years ago is that Jesus gives us the opportunity to look, to see perfect love crucified by fear, human fear, and greed, and cruelty, and corruption. And as we look to be changed, to have our hearts crack and crumble, a cracked and crumbled heart is a broken and contrite heart, and that God will not despise. So when our hearts are broken open and we witness true love, when we witness self-giving courage, when we witness loyalty and solidarity and true strength and humility, when someone stands up for us or fights for us or sacrifices for us, something happens to us. We are changed. We see that we matter. We see that we are. That we are loved. And when we look at Jesus on the cross, we see that we are loved, even when we're the ones responsible for his suffering. And we're forgiven and given the chance to change. And we're given the opportunity to grow in love and compassion and to live the life we're made for. We're redeemed. We're set free.